This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من تبعه هداه من بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the course of the fiqh. Inshallah, in this course we will cover the basic, all the basic things that are related to the book of ibadat. Everything that is related to the book of ibadat will be covered inshallah in a very simple but important way. And I will start with a very simple example. How many times do we perform prayer every day?
Five times.
5 times a day, right? Okay. What are the things that you have to do during prayer? During, not before. See, that's the difference. When we say pillar, pillar means part of the prayer, essential part of the prayer, that without it, the prayer is not accepted. Conditions, that is before the prayer, which wudu is one of them. So during the prayer, what are the things?
Intention.
Niyyah, very good, that's one of them. What else? Okay, how many things? 13. You know the number? They are 13. What are they? See, this is what I like to focus on. That's what I try to do always. Be specific. When you are specific, you know the things, because this is something we do every day. What is more frequent than prayer that we do every day? But still, we never took the time to think or list them in order. Like it's 1, 2, 3. I know when I say it's a pillar and anything happens, I will know. This is not one of them, so it's not a pillar, so it's okay, I can continue prayer. Oh no, this is one of the pillars, it didn't happen, so I have to do it again, or I have to do sujood, or I have... So that's important. We will start inshallah in order with the book of purification. And what we will study inshallah mainly is the Shafi'i school of thought. That's what we practice here. That's the common school of thought. If there is something different, I will mention it inshallah. But mainly it will be the study of the school of thought of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, and based on the madhab of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. What is the first chapter? What is the first book in fiqh? It's Kitab al-Tahara. What about other schools of thought? Have you ever studied or took a class on comparative fiqh? No. Some scholars, like in the Maliki school of thought, they start with the book of Salah first. Now, what starts first? Tahara or Salah?
Tahara.
Tahara. Can you pray without Tahara?
No.
You cannot. So which one should start?
Tahara.
Imam Malik disagrees. Why? Here is the question, and it's very valid. It's very strong. He says, you don't have to have Tahara until it's time for prayer. That's why he starts with the timing of the prayer. The book of Salah, Kitab al-Salah, Bab Mawaqit al-Salah. That's what he starts with. He says Tahara comes first, but you don't have to have Tahara until it's time for prayer. That's when you have to have Tahara. See, so knowing these differences would help. You don't have to, but you are still, this is very basic, but it's helpful to know that. Now, when we start with the Tahara, we have several acts of Tahara. What do we start with? As you see in the notes, what do we start with? Wudu. Wudu, because we have ghusl, right?
Yes.
We have tayammum. Why don't we start with those things? Come, salaam alaikum. Why don't we start with tayammum? What do you think? Or ghusl? Isn't ghusl more major And it covers more things. So why don't we start with ghusl? It's major purity. Ghusl is major purity. That's the point. He said, what did you say? It's not always, it's not as frequent. We start with something that is common, that is frequent. That's why it is tahara. And that's why it is wudu. Because wudu is the most repeated thing that is done every day. So, something that is not written here. And sometimes people like to pay attention to that. Sometimes they don't, depending on you, your selection. It's about the definitions. Wudu. What's the meaning of wudu? Or if I asked you to define wudu, what's the definition of wudu? Any thought about that? Have you ever took any basic course of fiqh? This is very basic. Definition of wudu. Someone told you, I don't know what wudu is. You have to explain everything. Wudu is to wash your hands and wash your face. And that's not the definition. That's description to what you do. But a definition of wudu. Any thoughts? To purify. That covers anything that we purify. Even washing clothes, that's to purify. So the definition has to be comprehensive. Washing with water. Isn't that ghusl also? Right? So again, we will not pay a lot of attention to that, but sometimes it's good to know these things. These are basic definitions. It's good to know. Wudu is, as scholars define it in Arabic, غَسْلُ أَعْضَاءٍ مَخْصُوصًا بِكَيْفِيَةٍ مَخْصُوصًا. Okay, moving on. You got the definition, right? But in Arabic. The washing of specific parts or limbs of the body. Not everybody, so we excluded ghusl. The washing of certain parts or limbs of the body in a certain way. Okay? That includes wudu and excludes everything else. This is wudu. See, it's very simple. Very simple and very basic term. غَسْلُ أَعْضَاءٍ مَخْصُوصًا بِكَيْفِيَةٍ مَخْصُوصًا. The washing of certain parts, certain limbs of the body in a certain way. That's it. So, the required acts of wudu, what are they? By the way, linguistically, wudu, where did it come from? Did you take any basic Arabic course? Have you heard the term before, wudu? Wada'a, wadi. It comes from the light. Baw. You never heard the term baw, light? Baw. Baw. Bad, wow. Hamza. That's baw, light. So what is the correlation? Baw, light and wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, on the day of judgment, the limbs that you wash, it will be what? Shining, it will be radiant. That is the glad tiding for the believers. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna ummati yub'athuna yawm al-qiyamah muhajjaneen." My ummah, my nation will be resurrected on the day of judgment with their parts lighting. So it's easy to distinguish the believers on the day of judgment. Why? They will have their limbs shining. Remember that always. Every time you make wudu, you're not just only required to do that, and that's why you're doing it. No, you are doing that, you know that you are saving your light for the day of judgment. This is a mark of a believer, the wudu. So, that's where the coloration came, the name came from. Baw, wada'a. Kana rajulan wadi'an. He was a man, handsome, he had lighting face. Okay, so we have six required acts. When we say required, what does it mean? Okay, what does it mean? It's a must, it's a must. It cannot be omitted. What does it mean? One of them is missing. Is the wudu valid? No, it's not valid. one of them is missing, it is not valid. So the validity of wudu is based on all, not some, on all these, how many? Six. Six things. What are they? First one, having the intention. Now here is a big issue with having the intention. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat." Actions are only based on what?
Niyya.
Intention, niyyah. No action without niyyah. That's why Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says it is what? It is a must. There is no act without intention. What does that mean? Somebody was playing with water. Playing. And he did this, he was playing. And you ask him, what are you doing? He said, I'm playing with water. And he did exactly the acts of wudu. But he told you, I was playing. Is this considered as wudu? He did the same acts. The same acts, it was time for prayer. Then he said, oh, you know what? I was playing with water and I just did the acts. So it should be sufficient and I will go and pray. Is that accepted? No. There has to be what?
Intention.
There has to be intention. So that's the first pillar. It's essential. Without intention, it's not valid. This is number one. Now, saying having the intention, as it's read, having the intention, does it mean saying or uttering?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
Having is something and saying is something else. So, how do we have the intention then? In the heart, someone came and said, okay, my intention is in the heart, but I want to utter it. What do you think? Very good. Was it ever reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uttered the intention? You see, the companions, rahimahumullah, radiyallahu anhum rahimahum, the companions were very accurate. Very accurate. When they described the acts of wudu, they described it in details. Everything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. They never ever mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before making the wudu, he said, I am intending nawaitul wudu, or he never said that. But according to the school of thought of Imam Shafi'i, if someone having waswas, having evil thoughts, having always doubts, then it is permissible for that person to utter the intention. It's no big deal, we don't want to make a big deal out of it, but the sunnah, your intention is where? In your heart. It is in your heart. So, how do you know? Your heart determines whatever you do. We might smile, but in my heart I am upset or unhappy. Still, because it's inside. That's the intention. Your intention is within. So the intention is a pillar. That's number one. Number two, washing the face. Good. Define the face. When we say washing the face, what constitutes a face? From here. What is here exactly? What is here? From the hairline, from the forefront, the beginning of the forehead. Very good. From the beginning of the forehead, because hairline, somebody without hair, where is his hairline? Does he have to wash his face like that from here? He doesn't have hair, so what do you do? From the hairline to shin. Okay? That's the length. What about the width? From between the two ears, exactly. Now, I say this, believe me, some people do not wash their face fully. What they do, they take the water and they do this. You see where my hands are? Did I cover all the face? It's not covered here. Especially with us, and especially even if we have bigger beard for men, here, this area, there is area here. After the hair, but before the ear. Many times it's dry. Unless you make sure, even with your thumbs, that you are covering. Okay? Make sure you cover this area here. So it's not just like that. Many people, you see them doing, this is not enough. You cover the entire face. The entire face. Okay. Washing the hands and arms. The hands and arms. So this is a hand and this is an arm. To the elbows. To the elbow. Is the elbow included or not? When I say from, to. To is included or not?
Yes.
Yes, according to the majority of scholars, including Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, it is. Some scholars said no, between, until, but without it. But the majority of scholars said no, it is included. The elbow is included. All right. Wiping part of the head. Wiping. Now, here is something. Washing, wiping. Wiping, washing. What's the difference?
Washing with water.
Washing with water. Wiping without water. With a wet hand, without water. The hand is wet, but without water. Okay? While washing, I have water in my hand. Wiping, I had water, but it's not there anymore. Yes, the hand is wet, but the water is not there. That is wiping. Okay, that's the difference. Wiping part of the head. Part. What constitutes part?
Not
all the head. Why not? Shouldn't you wipe the entire head? No? The entire head or part of it? Part? You're sure? That's what it says here. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's a typo. We are not saying what is sunnah. We're saying what is obligatory. What is, you see, that's the fiqh. When someone comes and tells you how to perform wudu, you don't tell him the pillars are this, the sunnah are this, you explain to him the wudu. But when someone says, what I must do only, without anything extra, I just want what is must, then you differentiate. Now we're not saying this is what you only do. Nobody says that. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not do that only. But we're saying this is what is essential. What without it, wudu is not accepted. So part of the head. Why part? Why not the entire head? Why not the entire head? Allah says in the Quran what? All these pillars are included in one ayah, only one ayah. In Surah Al-Ma'idah. Ayah number? What does it say? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, idha qumtum ila salati, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا Wipe. What? Does the ayah... Do you know the ayah or you don't know? You never read the ayah? It's important. Ayatul Ahkam, you should know them. وَامْسَحُوا You see the ayah, if it said وَامْسَحُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ Wipe your heads, then the entire head. But the ayah says wipe وَامْسَحُوا بِي Bi ru'usikum. Bi. So this added letter, what does it mean? Scholars differed. According to the Shafi'i school of thought, and the majority actually, they say bi means litab'id, proportion. Bi, the letter ba, is litab'id, proportionally. So wipe part of the head. That part, scholars differed. According to the Hanafi school of thought, the majority of the head. So 2/3 of the head, 3/4 of the head is enough. According to the Shafi'i school of thought, any part, anything that you could call part, as little as few hairs. As little as few hairs. Now again, no one is telling you go ahead and only wipe few hairs. But what we are saying is this is a pillar. The minimum required act to wipe part of the head. Whatever is called part, so let's say I did this. Did I cover part of the head?
Yes.
I did. So it should be accepted. Now I'm not saying go ahead and do just that, but according to the school of thought of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, this is sufficient. This is enough. Why? Because of the ayah. The ayah. Okay? Allah Azza wa Jal is commanding us to wipe B. وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. Allah didn't say وَمْسَحُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ. Because Allah said, wash your hands, اِغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. Wash your faces, wash your hands. But when it came to مسح, He didn't say وَمْسَحُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ. He said وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. Okay. Washing the feet to the ankle. Where is the ankle? Where is the ankle? The appearing bone of the foot. On top of the foot. That is the ankle. So you wash the feet to the ankle. Again, is the ankle included or not?
Yes.
It is included. So you wash the foot including the ankle. Including the ankles. Next, performing these acts in the order indicated. Okay, here is a scenario. I'm starting wudu. I have the intention. It's time for prayer. By the way, what time is the Asr prayer?
4:40.
So we are coming close to the Asr time, so let's perform wudu. So I went ahead and I washed my hands. I washed my face. I washed my feet. And I wiped my head. And I went ahead and prayed. Is that accepted? I started with what? With the arms, with the hands, with the arms. Then what?
Face.
And then the rest. Is that accepted or no?
No.
You're sure?
Accepted.
He says accepted. Why? Shouldn't there be an order? It says here, performing these acts in the order. But you say no.
Saying that actually it's not the order is not
Included
in the ayah.
No dalil, but where is the dalil? You say it's required, right? You have to have dalil. What you're saying is right. You have to have dalil. This is essential. This is something we do every day. What is the dalil? What is the evidence that it is required? The order. It is in the ayah. It is in the ayah. It is a linguistic issue actually, but I'll try explaining it to you. The ayah put the acts in order. Although when I say, for instance, he came, I am putting them in order. But when I interrupt this order, there has to be something. The ayah, what does it say? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ When you stand up for prayer, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ Wash your feet, your faces. وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ Wash your hands and arms to the elbows. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ Listen, now the ayah was mentioning what?
Order.
What order? Washing. Then it came to what? Wiping. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ Then the ayah said what? وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ And your feet. Your feet is going back to what? To the wiping or to the washing? Washing. So why I delay the feet? I should have said, wash your hands, faces, feet. But the ayah doesn't say that. The ayah says, wash, wipe, wash. And we know the Quran is very eloquent. It doesn't repeat anything unless it is necessary. So the ayah mentioned that order to tell us that it is a pillar to have this order. So the ayah went from washing to wiping, then went back again to what? To washing. Why? It's easier to say wash one time and repeat only the things. Wash your face, your hands with the arm, your feet. But the ayah didn't say that. The ayah said wash your face, your hand with the arm, your feet, wipe your head, wash your feet. So it repeated the wash. So that is the order. Is it a pillar? Yes, it is a pillar. Okay. I'm okay with you. I agree it's a pillar. You say it's a pillar? Okay. I am going to do the order. I'm going to wash what? My face. Bismillah. What do you say? Yeah, I did that. I'm washing my face. I'm washing my hand to the elbow with the arm. And then again my foot. Left and then right. Why? Why? We are in Malaysia. You drive from the right. Started with the right. Did he say you have to start like that? I'm asking you. Somebody started with the left. That's my question. I'm asking you. Is it valid or invalid? Valid. You start from the left. Is that how the Prophet ﷺ did it?
No.
So how come you say it's valid? It is actually valid. I'm not saying you do it. It's not sunnah. The sunnah is always, as the sister said, you start from the right. But it is not a pillar. It's only sunnah. Sunnah. Your wudu is still valid. You did something that is not recommended. You didn't follow the sunnah, but it is still valid. Actually, there is a narration from Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, I don't care whether I start with left or right. It's authentic. Again, the ayah didn't specify the part, right or left, but specified the order. Okay? So this is not a pillar. Another thing, I started wudu. I had the intention and I said Bismillah and I started what? Washing my hands and washing my face. I washed my face. Washing my hand with the arm. Is that enough? Why? I did that one time. Yes. One time?
Yes.
Not three times?
Yes.
Yes. What is not sunnah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes. The repetition of the times of washing, that is not a pillar. The repetition. You see, that's why you have to be accurate. When you say what's a pillar, is pillar. These are only pillars. Everything else is only what? Sunnah. Again, I'm not saying go ahead and do it, but it is permissible. Actually, sometimes the Prophet ﷺ did that. Bab al-wudu. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he had a chapter in his Sahih. Chapter, performing wudu once, twice, and three times. Sometimes the Prophet ﷺ would wash his parts one time. Sometimes he would wash two times. Sometimes he would wash three times. And sometimes he would mix his face two times, his hands three times, to show that it is what? Permissible. It's not a pillar to do it three times. Three times is only what?
Sunnah.
Okay? How about the ears? Did we mention the ears? They are included in the head. So do you have to wipe them or no? Is it a pillar to wipe the head or no?
Yes.
It is a pillar. Are the ears from the head or no?
Yes.
It is. Or they're not?
Yes.
If somebody has his ears in his hands, that's different. But the ears are part of the head. So is it a pillar to wipe the ears or no?
No.
Why?
Head, yes.
Ear,
no.
Wiping the head is a pillar. Ears are part of the head. Wiping the ears shouldn't be a pillar? Should or shouldn't? If it's, it is part of the head. Come on. We want to move on. See, this is something you do five times a day. You don't know it's required or not required. Subhanallah. What say you? Not a pillar. Maybe the notes are wrong. Testing you. Do we have to wipe the entire head or part of it? Part of it. Because of that, the ears are not mandatory to wipe. It's only what? Sunnah. Okay. Next part is about the sunan. What is sunnah? Oh, wait, hold on a second. Something important. It is time for wudu. So I started, bismillah. I started the wudu, took the water, washed my hands first, sniffed the water, washed my mouth, washed my face, washed my hands with the arms, wiped my head. Wait. Yes? Okay. What can I get you? All right. What else? Okay. By the way, how did this go? Okay. So, I kept doing that for about 15 minutes. And then I remembered, oh, there is the feet left. So I washed my feet. And I went on.
Are you talking to your phone? Are you in the bathroom? In the wudu room? Or
what?
Somewhere else?
They called me. There is a phone call.
Oh, you go, went out from the...
I went out and I came back. The entire thing?
Yes.
Why? Too long. What is too long and what is not too long?
Yeah.
Hmm?
There shouldn't be any interruptions in each of the actions.
There shouldn't be any interruption.
You're purifying
yourself. Yeah, but it's a phone call. It's important. I'm not saying it's more important than Allah, but I'm doing the wudu, that's important. But I didn't do them all at the same time at once. I'm asking you. Did it ever happen to you? So what did you do?
Redo
the whole thing? You have to?
No. Because of that?
No. So I wash my hands now, after 10 minutes, we have 40 minutes until the prayer. In this 40, every 10 minutes I do one thing. Installment. Every 10 minutes, is it permissible or no? I'm asking you. Should it be in succession or it's only a sunnah? All scholars agree that there shouldn't be any long interruption. But what constitutes a long interruption? When the parts are ripe on their own, they become dry on their own. How long does it take? Few minutes. Sometimes 4 minutes. If the time went more than that, you have to redo everything. But again, is this required? There was a narration reported from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that he used to do everything and he delayed washing his feet until he went out to the market. We have that sometimes. You have the sink, the faucet. You only wash everything with the exception of the feet. You don't want to make a mess. You will go outside and you wash the feet. That is permissible as long as it is not long or far away. But according to the Shafi'i school of thought, again, that succession of order is sunnah, as long as it's not too long. Okay, it's not required. So you could do that, wash, and then go outside, and then come back and continue, as long as it's what? It's not long. Okay, that's why it's important, whenever someone is telling you what is required, you say, 6 things. Know the numbers. Be specific. Just because you do something every day doesn't mean that you know it. I give you an example. I like always to ask this question. Who uses Google?
Google.
Do you use Google? Have you ever used Google for searching something? How many times? Okay. What are the colors of the word Google? What? No. They have... Sometimes it changes. Not the color. The shape, entire shape. What is the color of the word?
Red, blue, yellow.
Red or blue or yellow or... It starts with green? Don't look. I'm not asking you to look. You look every day. The point is what? This is something you do every day, but is it important to know really the color, the order of the colors of the letter? No. That's why you don't know it. Right? But for this, it is important. So you should know. Okay. So your homework, to know the colors of the... All right. The recommended acts now. What is recommended? Recommended means... you will be rewarded for doing it. And you're not blameworthy if you didn't do it. But is it a must? No, it's not a must. First thing, saying Bismillah. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا تَوَضَّأْتَ, whenever you perform wudu, say Bismillah. Okay? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, say, is that a command or this is not a command? It's a command. A command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam means what? Obligation or just recommended?
Depends.
Depends. When I tell you, give me this, you say it depends. You lose your job next day. Right? This is a command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is obligatory or depends or recommended only? Shouldn't Bismillah be with the first group, with the things that are required? What do you think, brothers and sisters? Saying Bismillah, the Prophet ﷺ said, say Bismillah. So let's move it, let's switch it. Let's switch it to number one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say Bismillah, right? So let's go ahead and switch it. Yeah. Put it with the first group. So it becomes 7 and this becomes 9. Where is the pen? What do you think? Why? I'm telling you, the Prophet ﷺ said, say Bismillah. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ says something, it's a command. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever the Prophet ﷺ gave you, you should take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. It's not something that is up to our desires. It's a command from the Prophet ﷺ.
It's not the same level as Allah's command.
Exactly! So it should be at number one. So go ahead, put it in number one.
It's not the same as Allah, because that one was Al-Maidah ayat 6, right?
Yeah.
That's the command of Allah. So,
the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when a man asked him, how do I perform wudu? He told him, tawadda kama amaraka Allah. Perform wudu as Allah commanded you. So he referred him to what? To the ayah. To the ayah. We go back to the ayah. Does the ayah say Bismillah?
No.
That's the only reason why it is not amongst the obligatory acts. Otherwise it should be there. But because the Prophet ﷺ himself told the man, perform wudu as the ayah tells you, as Allah commanded you, the ayah doesn't mention Bismillah. That's why it is not mandatory. Otherwise it should be. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ says something, it should be mandatory. And actually, according to the Hanbali, Imam Ahmad, it is a pillar. It is a condition. You have to do it. Okay. Washing the hands. What do we mean by washing the hands? Exactly, to the wrist. So the first thing we do, we wash the hands. This is not a pillar. This is what? Sunnah. Now what happens with many people, they make this mistake. They wash the hands. So now they are washing the mouth, sniffing and taking out the water from their nose, washing the face. After that, they wash the hand. This is washed, so they start from here. This is wrong. You have to wash the entire hand with the arm. Because what you started with, that was only sunnah. Now is the pillar. So you have to do the entire thing. Okay? And you wonder why our prayer is difficult, why we are not feeling. Because many people actually, even the wudu, they don't know how to perform it. Many of them, they make this mistake in wudu. So you wash the entire hand with the arm to the elbow. Because this is the pillar. What you started with, that was only sunnah. That was only sunnah. Rinsing the mouth. Yes.
It must be this
direction. Question, good question. What do you think? Is the direction of the washing mentioned?
No.
No. So it is permissible. It is permissible to start from here. Going all the way. Same thing with what?
Head.
With the head. The sunnah is to do what? To go back all the way and come. Some people understood it the other way around. From here. If somebody started from here, it's permissible. Yes?
So the translation here says...
What translation?
In English,
of
the Quran.
Of what? Of the Quran, okay, because I thought the translation of this, okay.
When you prepare for prayer, wash your faces and your hands and arms to the elbows. So I would think, you know, hands to the elbows.
Yeah.
To.
Yeah.
It's the same elbow to the hands. To the hands.
It mentions the to the elbows. So when I washed my hand with the arm to the elbow, from here to here, it is to specify the length of the washing. Otherwise, how would it specify? When it says wash the hand, I would understand it to the wrist. Or I would understand it to the shoulder. That's all arm. It's all arm. But when it said to the elbows, it meant this part. So I'm washing this part. Okay? Any other questions? All right. Rinsing the mouth. How do we rinse the mouth? You're laughing. Many people also don't do that. Put the water, throw the water. That's not rinsing. Moving the water inside the mouth. Move the water inside the mouth. Many people don't do that. Water in, water out. So madmada, when you put the water in your mouth, move the water inside your mouth. Okay? Flushing the inside of the nose. Istinshaq in Arabic, what does it mean? Sniff. How do you sniff? Again, many people, what they do is not what is the sunnah. They insert water in their nose. That is not istinshaq. When you do like that, that's not istinshaq. Istinshaq is you bring the water near and you sniff it with your nose. Not with your hand. Okay, many people, that's what they do. This is not the correct way. You bring the water near and you sniff it with your nose. That's the correct way. Okay? Wiping the whole head. Wiping the whole head. So the whole head is sunnah. Part of the head is pillar. Wiping the ears. Again, are they mentioned with the pillars or with the sunan? With the sunan. They're not from the arkan, from the sunan. Running water through beard. Again.
Bread or beard?
Huh? Well, if you have bread. See, I'm telling you, there are mistakes. Don't listen always. Somebody has long beard. Up to his chest. Does he have to wash it? I'm asking you, do you have to wash all the way here? Why not? The Prophet ﷺ, it was reported that he used to run the water through the beard. What is required is to wash the face. The beard is coming from the face, so the roots of that beard, that's what you are required to do. You did that, it's sufficient. Anything else, anything extra, that's only what? Sunnah. That is a sunnah, not a must. Alright, is this clear? So running the water through the beard, that is not mandatory. That's not rukn, that is only sunnah. Okay, cleaning the right side before the left side. Again, somebody started from left, it's only permissible. It's not mandatory to start from right to left. It is sunnah. So if somebody did it from left to right, it is permissible. Performing these acts how many times? Three times. Also, that is sunnah. You do the acts once, that is what? That is mandatory. You're okay. Doing more than that is what? Sunnah. Doing more than that is sunnah. Performing these acts in succession, as I told you, without interruption, that is sunnah. Alright, things that invalidate wudu. Things that invalidate wudu. Whatever comes out of the urethra or the rectum. Every human being, natural human being, because there are exceptions actually. Some people are born with some abnormalities. You have two outlets, from the front and from the back. These are two outlets. Okay? Anything comes out of them is what? Invalidating wudu. Najis or unnajis, that's different. Okay? Because according to the Shafi'i school of thought, many is not najis. It requires washing, but it's not najis. It's the essence of our creation. It's not najis, but it still invalidate the ghusl, the state of tahara. So anything that comes out of the two outlets invalidates wudu. That includes what? Hair. Air. What about hair? Somebody discharged a hair. It went all the way through all the and or here is something. Somebody has a kidney stone and it's very painful. So all what he discharged was a small piece like that. Does it require wudu? Yes, it does. According to the Shafi'i school of thought, anything that comes out from any of the two outlets. Blood. What about blood? Somebody did not discharge urine. Blood. Still, the same thing. So any discharge from the two outlets invalidates what? Wudu. That's number one. Number two, sleeping not in a sitting position. Sleeping. Does sleep invalidate wudu? Yes. Scholars differed on almost nine opinions. But what we are worried about here is the opinion of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, in particular, and generally the opinion of scholars. The majority of scholars, they said sleeping invalidates wudu. Why? Not because of sleep itself, but because of what happens during sleeping. You don't know. So you have to be in a state of certainty. With doubt, it's not accepted. Maybe or maybe not you discharge anything. Maybe or maybe not you touched something. So to eliminate any doubt, you just have to perform wudu. Some scholars said because of that, that sleep itself does not mandate wudu. It is not a nullifier. It doesn't invalidate wudu. But according to the Shafi'i school of thought, sleeping does invalidate wudu. However, what kind of sleeping? Any kind, with the exception of in the sitting position. So if I am sitting like that, I'm tired after the class, it has been a long day, so I sit and I go down. Then after 1 hour, it's time for prayer. I had wudu before, so can I go ahead and perform prayer? Why? What is so special about sitting? Different than laying down. It's both sleeping. I was asleep. My head is down like that. What?
No, nothing can come up from the urethra.
Yes. In this position, the possibility, the doubt of discharge from the outlet is gone. Mainly the air. That's according to the Shafi'i school of thought. Although actually it might happen. But there is another hadith. Scholars said it's a weak hadith. So anyways, that's the argument of the Shafi'i school of thought. When you are sitting, there is nothing discharged. So, because even if there was something, you will wake up. You will be awake. You will notice it. So the possibility is gone. Therefore, only exception for sleeping, when you are sitting, it doesn't invalidate wudu. Any kind of sleep, lying down, kneeling, any kind except for sitting, invalidates wudu. Losing one's mind. Losing one's mind. You passed out. That also invalidates wudu. Why? It's similar to sleeping. You are unconscious. You don't know what happened. You passed out. So it requires wudu. Directly touching the skin of foreign woman. Directly touching the skin of a foreign woman. First of all, what does that mean? Directly foreign. And second, what's the evidence for that? Quran, we have over 6,000 ayat. All of them are evidence. Yeah, Surah Maryam. Surah Maryam has over 100 ayah. Which one of them? See, be specific. You just don't give general things. Alright. So, directly, what does it mean? Is that direct or indirect?
Indirect.
That's indirect. Touching what? Skin. So, what else is there other than the skin? What about the hair? Someone touched the head from the back. The head, the hair. The hair is not skin. The nail, that's not skin. See, again, you don't have to go through all these details, but the scholars were accurate when they mentioned that. Alright, directly. So it has to be direct. And it has to be of a foreign. Which means non-mahram. Why? What is different about the non-mahram? Non-mahram. Many scholars, that's what they said, the shahwa, the desire. When you touch your daughter, would you have desire? No. Normal person, no. Maybe sick person, but normal person, no. Your mother, you don't feel lust, she's your mother, okay? But touching a foreign woman, it could have this desire, okay? How about the wife? Is she foreign?
Married.
You're married. Is she mahram? Is she foreign? Does touching the wife invalidate wudu or no? According to the Shafi'i school of thought. It does invalidate wudu. So is she foreign or she's not foreign? Foreign? You tell your wife you're foreign? Well, if she wasn't foreign, you wouldn't have married her. Mahram is the one that you cannot marry. Since you married her, she was a foreign. So she still invalidates wudu according to the Shafi'i school of thought. Even the wife. If she was a mahram, if she wasn't foreign, you wouldn't be able to marry her to begin with. So that doesn't change the ruling. Okay? Now, what is the evidence for that? Why would touching a woman just like that invalidate wudu? Why? Here is the Quran. Bismillah. What surah? You said Surah Maryam? It's very short surah, only 100. Tell me, which one is it? Come on. Any thoughts? Hello? أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءِ. It's the same ayah of wudu. It was repeated twice. أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءِ. It is in Surah Al-Nisa and in Surah Al-Ma'idah. In the other narration, it came أو لمستم. لامس and لمس. What's the meaning of لمس? Touch. In Arabic, لمس actually has two meanings. This is one of them, and that's the direct meaning, touch. The other meaning is having the intercourse. That's what the other scholars said. They said touching itself does not invalidate wudu, because the ayah is not talking about touching. It's talking about the other meaning, which is having intercourse. But according to Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, no, the direct meaning is what? The touching, the normal touching. The majority of scholars, they say touching invalidates wudu, but depending. Some of them say not any touching, only the touching that is with desire, with lust. Only touching that is for a foreign woman. Wife is not included. So they have different opinions. I believe actually touching by itself does not invalidate wudu, even to the wife. Because the Prophet ﷺ, it was narrated that he used to kiss his wife before going to the masjid. And this is authentic. So, but that's the opinion of the school of thought, Imam Shafi'i. And it's based again on the ayah. أَوْ لَمَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءِ. Touching one's genital organ with the inside of the hand. Touching the genital organ with the inside of the hand. Why? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man massa ذكره فليتوضأ." He who touches his private part, he should perform wudu. "Man massa ذكره فليتوضأ," which means touching the private part is what? Invalidates wudu. But what if someone, by mistake, that's why they say touching with the inside. Because if it's the outside, maybe there is a scratch or there is something. So that's not real touching. Touching from the inside. That's deliberate. Okay? The hadith didn't specify. The hadith mentioned ذَكَرَهُ. This is the male organ. What about the female? What about the female? Is it also included? According to the Shafi'i school of thought, yes. The hadith didn't mention anything about women, but by analogy, it's the same. The private part for the male and the private part of the female. Prophet ﷺ mentioned men, but it doesn't mean that women are excluded. Also, if a woman touched her private part directly with the inside of the skin, of the hand, it does what? Invalidate wudu. That's according to the Shafi'i school of thought. The last one, touching one's anus. This was also not the same, even in the Shafi'i school of thought. Majority of scholars, they will tell you only five things invalidate wudu, not six. Even the Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, in the previous opinion, because he had two opinions. If you know, he had an opinion, school of thought in Iraq. Then when he left to Egypt, he had a different school of thought. Few things remained the same, but many things changed. Of these things changed, touching the anus. Is there any evidence for that? Why, according to the Shafi'i school of thought, touching the anus invalidates wudu? Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention it? Did he? He didn't. What did he mention? The private part, ذكر, not the anus. So, based on what? What is the evidence? ما الدليل? Yes. Any thoughts? It's the same thing. Since the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the front part, the back part is the same. By analogy, that's the evidence. It's analogy. It's not ayah or hadith, it is the analogy. Based on the invalidation of wudu for directly touching the private part, directly touching the anus invalidates wudu. That's the opinion of the Shafi'i school of thought. Alright, these things invalidate wudu. What about ghusl? The entire washing of the whole body. What requires ghusl? How many things? Six. Because the notes say so, right? You have to remember the numbers. Be specific. It's always helpful. What are these six? Contact between male and female genital organs. Okay, contact. Because sometimes it doesn't last for a few seconds. Nothing happened. No ejaculation, no discharge whatsoever. It was just the contact. Why it requires ghusl? Nothing happened. Just the contact. What do you think? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha massa al-khitan al-khitan, faqad wajab al-ghusl." When the two circumcised, the two parts, the two private parts touched, that's what he said. He didn't say it has to take long time or there has to be any discharge. Just the touching. The touching of the two private parts, that touching does what? It requires ghusl. Okay, the mere touching. Because some people, they think that unless I discharge or unless it takes some time, I don't have to make ghusl. No. The touching by itself requires ghusl. Second thing, ejaculation. The ejaculation. How we differentiate, because many things are discharged from the private part. The thing that comes with lust, that's what requires ghusl. Death. It is one of the obligatory things when someone dies, he has to be or she has to be washed. That is also an act requires ghusl, death. Menstruation. That's for women. Menstruation, it also requires ghusl. Being in puerperium, nifas, the state of bleeding after giving birth, postnatal, that's what it means, postnatal. So why don't we say just giving birth? Isn't it the same? Giving birth, period. No. Giving birth, they say, and this is why, again, scholars are accurate. Giving birth sometimes or rarely, once in a blue moon, could happen without any bleeding. A woman, now maybe that's rare, maybe it happens only once every 10 years, once in 5 million women. Maybe it happened. So a woman gave birth without any witness, any bleeding, any. Should she or shouldn't she make ghusl? She has to make ghusl. Giving birth by itself is an act requiring ghusl. The bleeding after birth, that requires ghusl. So it doesn't have to be bleeding. Just the mere giving of birth requires ghusl. So these are six things shared, three of them only happening to women. The last three of them. Menstruation, being in puerperium, postnatal, and giving birth. Okay? So these numbers are helpful. They are important. How much time? 15 to 20 minutes. Okay. Now, next page. The required acts of ghusl. MashaAllah, over an hour on one page. Okay, we have to move on quickly actually, otherwise we won't finish. How many sessions? Six?
Five.
Oh, subhanAllah. Required acts of ghusl, what are they? Always having the intention, that's always. Removing any impurity, you cannot make ghusl while still there is impurity on you. There is blood, or there is many, sperm, or it has to be removed. Removing any impurity. Washing with water the whole body and the hair. That's it. So if you don't have any impurity, bleeding is gone, you had the intention, you are under the water. Again, why having the intention is important? Because somebody went swimming, liked swimming, then it was time for prayer. Oh, I was just in the swimming pool, so I will go ahead and pray. No, if he didn't make the intention before that this washing of the entire body to perform prayer, it's not accepted. You have to have intention.
Can you have intention and go swimming and that's considered as ghusl? Can you have the intention, go swimming and is that considered as ghusl?
Well, that's another thing. Is swimming pool sufficient? Depending on the water, is it clean, not clean, small? That's another issue. But the main issue is the washing itself. The intention has to be there. Because some people, they wake up sweating. So they say, I will wash. I don't want to smell. They go to the prayer. Then they remember. They had intimate relation earlier. That's not sufficient. Because their intention was for what? For sweating. Not for the ghusl. So it's important to have the intention. What is required after that? You just cover your entire body with water. That's it. It's enough. Now, what is recommended, that is added. You say Bismillah always. In any action, you say Bismillah. You eat. You enter the masjid. Even in the intimate relation, in that private moment, you say Bismillah. Everything. So here also, with the ghusl, you say Bismillah. Performing these acts in succession. What are these acts? Body and hair. Running the hand over the body. Now, in our time we have showers. Their times, they didn't have the pressure to lift the water, so they had to pour the water. Somebody was standing under the shower, not doing anything, and the water, the pressure was strong, so it covered the entire body. Is that sufficient? Or you have to pass the hand and rub the entire body? You don't have to. It's only recommended. It is only recommended. Performing wudu, is it required? No, it's sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ used to perform wudu before performing ghusl. Cleaning the right side before the left side. Again, if you start, because the sunnah is to start with the right side, then the left side, then the whole body. So if you started with the left side, that's permissible. But the sunnah is to start with the right side. Okay. Necessary conditions for wiping over the foot covering. Al-khuf. Three conditions. Wearing the foot covering after completing the wudu. Okay, some people, they wake up after long sleep, they say, today is cold, I don't want to wash my feet. They put on the socks, they perform wudu, and they wipe over the socks. Is that permissible? You have to wear the socks after, not before. After you are in the state of purity. Okay, you cannot wake up after losing your wudu. You were asleep, so you lost your wudu. You woke up, you performed wudu, and you said, I will not wash my feet. You put on your socks and you wipe over them. No. You have to wash, then after that you wear the socks, and then when you lose your wudu, you can wipe over them. You have to put them on the state of tahara. That's what the Prophet ﷺ told Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu. دَعْهُمَا فَإِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا طَاهِرَتَيْنِ. He wanted to take off the foot covers of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, no, no, leave them. I put them on the state of tahara. Okay. The foot covering must cover the whole foot to the ankle. Okay. Nowadays, we have short socks. And we'll talk about the socks. Is it permissible to wipe over the socks? The third condition explains that. One must be able to walk continuously with his feet in the foot covering. If it's hot or cold, can you walk with the thin socks? It has to be what? Thick. If it's a sock or it's a foot cover. That's according to the Shafi'i school of thought. So based on that, the regular socks, is it permissible to wipe over them? According to the Shafi'i school of thought, no. This is the condition. You have to be able to walk over them. With these socks, one would say, yeah, I can walk over them. Yes, you can. Even if you are barefooted, you can. But outside the street, if there is some stones, you cannot step over them. You will hurt your feet. But if it is thick, you won't mind. You're wearing shoes, it's fine. So the same thing, they have to be thick. That's the opinion. What constitutes, again, you won't feel the regular coldness or hotness. Whether it's warm or cold, there is a barrier. There is this buffer. But if it's very thin, you will feel it immediately. So that's the opinion of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. It has to cover the whole foot with the ankle. So the small short ones that are below the ankle, that is not sufficient. Here is something I find with many people, for some reason. They say it has to be leather. Is the leather a condition? No. But because the leather isolates the water, you don't feel, that's why it's recommended, but it's not mandatory. Not all companions, they wore leather foot covers. Khuf. Okay. Things that make wiping on the foot covering impermissible. What invalidates the foot covering? Taking them off. You wiped over them, so taking them off just like discharging anything from the outlets. You took them off, what happens? The wudu is invalidated. Expiration of the designated time. What is the time period for the foot covering? For the wiping? 3 days for who? For the traveler. 3 days and nights. For the resident, 1 day. So it is permissible for the resident to wipe over the foot cover? Yes, it is. Whatever necessitates ghusl. Anything that necessitates ghusl, like what? Janaba. Ejaculation, intimate relation. You have your foot cover. You don't say, I will wash my body, but my feet, I will wipe over them. No, anything that necessitates ghusl, you have to take them off. You wash the whole body and you wash the feet. Okay, last, we will finish the page, inshallah. Necessary conditions for tayammum. 5 conditions. Availability of an excuse. You have to justify tayammum. Otherwise, you should do what? Wudu. You cannot just, based on your desire, at will, you have sand here, and you have water. You say, today I will choose the sand. Tomorrow, you cannot do that. There has to be a reason. Okay. Arrival of time of the prayer. You cannot say, I will do tayammum now for Maghrib. The time has to come. Why? This is a concession. It's not like the regular time. You can pray, you can make wudu ahead of time. With tayammum, it has to be within the time. Because you might think, you will need tayammum, but when the time came, water came. So you wait until the time of the prayer, and then you make tayammum. Not before that. Seeking water. You have to look for water. Not just, I don't have water. What if water is there, but you cannot use it? Same thing. That's number 4. Difficulty with using water. Like what? It is drinking water. Drinking water, little, and you want to use it for drinking. You are allowed here. So it's not only the inavailability of water, it's also the difficulty of using water. Another thing, you have a pond, pure pond, very clean, very nice, and you can make wudu out of it, but there is a lion in the way. Do you risk your life to go and make wudu? No. You don't risk your life to make wudu. You got killed. You might get killed just to make wudu. So that's difficulty. Physically, the water is there. Or there is no lion, but you have allergy. Your skin is peeling. You're sick. You get sicker. You don't use wudu. So it's not the inavailability. That's one. Two, difficulty using water. The unavailability. Now, after seeking water, if it was not there, then you perform tayammum. These are the conditions of tayammum. You don't just say, oh, we don't have water. Yes, here you don't have water, but there water is there. Or you don't say, I am tired. You have to look for the water. You have to find out that there is no water, or you cannot use the water. It's there, but you cannot use it. The required acts of tayammum. Again, having the intention. As always, you need what? The intention. Wiping the face with the hand. You wipe the face with the hand. Wiping the hands and arms. Okay? Now, this is the opinion of Imam Shafi'i. He differed with the rest of the scholars. Why? What other scholars said? What do you wipe? To the wrist. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said to the elbow. Why? What do you wash? You wash the wrist or you wash the arm? The arm to the elbow. So this is alternative of wudu. So you do the same thing. You wipe until here. Other scholars said no. Based on two things. The hand could be called that, and that's what is cut off when a thief steals money. And the other thing, the performance of the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't go all the way. So, but according to the Shafi'i school of thought, it is to here. You wipe the face, you wipe with the sand, with the dust, the hand to, and the arm to the elbow. Performing these acts in the order. Again, you start with the hands or with the face? With the face. Is striking a condition or a pillar? Some people say you have to. No, you don't have to. As long as you have dust in your hand, that's all that matters. Usually you won't do that without striking. Yes, but it's not a pillar. It's not something that is mandatory. Should we move on or enough for today? Move on. Things that invalidate tayammum. Whatever invalidates wudu, how many things invalidate wudu? Six. Very good, mashallah. Okay. Seeing water at the time of prayer. At the time of prayer. Okay. The iqama is about to be called and you did tayammum because there was no water, but then you heard the water is coming through the pipes. You opened the sink, there is water. You closed it immediately. You said, I just have to pray now. Can you do that?
No.
No, you have to make wudu with the water. You have to. Okay, what if you started already? Allahu Akbar. You said Allahu Akbar, and then you heard, the water is coming. What do? You continue. It's too late now. You continue. You don't break your prayer to go and make wudu. No. You continue. Okay, so seeing water at the time of the prayer. Apostasy. It's strange to be mentioned here because it invalidates everything. Everything. It invalidates all the good deeds. But they mention it here in particular. Why? You know why? Tayammum is a concession. Tayammum is a concession. It's an alternative for wudu. So you don't take concessions with an act of kufr, disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 8 things that are prohibited during menstruation and postnatal, puerperium. Prayer. Can a woman pray? Even if she wanted, she is prohibited. Fast. The same thing. Reciting the Quran. That's according to the Shafi'i school of thought. Other scholars, no. There is a difference between touching and reciting. Some women, they menstruate for 9-10 days. That's 1/3 of the month. So for 1/3 of the month, they are told not to recite Quran. But that's the opinion of Imam Shafi. There is separation. Touching is different. So number 4, touching. Entering the masjid. Entering the masjid. Again, that's according to the Shafi'i school of thought. There is difference of opinions here. Circumambulating the Kaaba. You cannot do tawaf. You can do what? Sa'i. Sa'i is permissible, but tawaf is not permissible. Sexual intercourse, it is prohibited. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned it is adha. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءِ. Avoid women during menstruation. فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. What does it mean, avoid? Stay away from them, don't talk to them, don't touch them. No, it, avoid implies the sexual relation. Attaining pleasure in the area of the body, that is between the belly button and the knees. According to the Shafi'i school of thought, not only the sexual intercourse, but also seeking pleasure. Why? According to the Shafi'i school of thought, this could lead to the prohibited act, so you stay away from it. Between here and here, during menstruation, it's not permissible. One of the narrations that Aisha radiallahu anha says, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَأْمُرُنِي. He used to command me to wear izar. Then he puts his skin directly on my skin. That's one of the evidences. Other scholars said no. The only thing that is prohibited is what? The intercourse itself. Anything else is permissible. The Prophet ﷺ said, اصنعوا كل شيء. Do everything with the exception of one thing. The intercourse itself. But according, we're taking what Imam Shafi rahimahullah said. 5 things that are prohibited if one in the state of janaba. Now, it is not the state of menstruation or postnatal, it is janaba. Prayer, again, you don't pray. You don't recite the Quran. You don't touch and hold the Quran. You don't circumambulate the Kaaba and you don't stay. Now there is difference. Passing by is different than staying. So entering, they said it is permissible. Why? You might be in the masjid doing i'tikaf and it happened. You woke up and you found yourself on the state of janaba. You should leave. Are you blameworthy because you had? No. So it could happen. Staying is different than passing by or entering. 3 things that are prohibited if one is muhdith, in the state of hadath, which is the minor impurity, the discharge of air or anything from the 2 outlets. That's the hadath. Prayer, circumambulating the Kaaba, and touching the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal says, لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. Only the purified ones touch the Quran. And that's the opinion of the majority. Another group of scholars, they said, the ayah doesn't mean the people, it means the angels. So they allowed the muhdith. As long as you are not in the state of janaba, you just lost your wudu, you can touch it. But the opinion of Imam Shafi rahimahullah, you have to have wudu. You cannot touch the Quran. Okay, we'll stop here. Alhamdulillah, we finished the book of Tahara. Any questions? Yes. Bismillah. Go ahead, sister.
Pertaining to the first one, actually, the difference between
Yes.
Send us some practical steps, say when they're on Umrah Hajj, and then they break the wudu. And then they're given these little bottles to spray on the face. So it's kind of like a wiping rather than washing. What is the...
Just spray?
Yeah, just enough to wet the arm again.
No, if it's just wetting, no, that you have to have water. So this spray, if it was gathered or collected and it became water, then yes, you could. The quantity itself doesn't have to be much. This is something we didn't learn to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ with. What was the quantity of the water that he used to make wudu with? Mud. What is the mud? That's the mud. So it's, this would be a mud, or even less than that. It covers, or actually some of this water will not be in my hand. It will be too much. Can you make wudu with this only? Many people can't. This is not even enough for washing the hands. That's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. What about the ghusl? 4 times. Only 4 times, this amount. That is the sunnah. But how you can do that without wiping? You cannot do that. Because we go under the shower. So back again to your question. With that spraying, if it really you can gather the water, then yes. But if it's just wetting, no. Any other questions? You had a question?
Yes, but when we do shower, mm-hmm. we just do tayammum. When we bury the wudu,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of people there, so we can't go to the make wudu and just make a tayammum.
How do you make tayammum? On the air? You are near the... Yeah, it is actually very hard. Well, the thing is, do you have to have wudu during the tawaf? According to Imam Shafi'i, yes.
Yes, but according to some scholars...
Yeah. Why you choose a very odd opinion, which is making tayammum, instead of choosing not to follow the Shafi'i school of thought in this issue?
Yeah,
right? Any other questions? Yes.
About the tayammum.
Yeah.
We have to do it with the sand.
Yes. Or dust.
Dust. Just with the dust.
Yes.
Because
with the soil of the earth.
Okay. Because I've seen some people in India.
Yeah.
They will wipe the wall, and you know it comes some kind of dust.
Yes.
And then they do.
Yes, according to the Hanafi school of thought, they are more lenient in that. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَتَيَمَّمُوا سَعِيدًا. سَعِيدًا means in Arabic appearance, what appears on the earth. So they said anything that appears on the earth, it doesn't have to be dust, is permissible. But according to the majority of scholars, it should be dust. What about black sand? You see in front of the beach, there is dark sand. Can you do tayammum with that? You can or you can't? It's black, like black sand. You can, in front of the beach.
In front of the beach, of course. It's a beach. The water, a big one, water, yeah.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, Jazakumullah khairah. See you next time. No homework this time. Assalamu alaikum.